Please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, the 12th Psalm. Psalm 12 is on page 604 in your Schofield Bible. We have 8 verses in this psalm, and we will read all the verses. We'll read them responsively. As our custom is, let's please stand for the reading of this passage of Scripture. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side, when the vilest men are exalted. And let's pray. And Father, we thank Thee that Thou art here. There'd be no need for our coming except that we knew that You were here. And of course, You're with us as individuals. But collectively, we're glad that You're in this place for our church family and for the family's needs. Bless concerning tonight the preaching, the hearing of Thy Word. We need something from Thee. We need what You've put upon the heart of our preacher, and he needs Thy power. In Jesus' name, amen.
It was a real battle for me when I was a young man to choose whether to be a preacher. I could sing like that. And it was a real decision for me to make, but I felt like I should preach, and I should hide the other talent. I think you'll agree I've done a good job of keeping it hidden too. And I am preaching tonight on the subject, the real battle. What is the real battle we face in America? The words are they're used often. I started to say trite but true, but they're not trite, but they're true. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver, didn't say the thoughts of the Lord are pure thoughts. Didn't say the paragraphs of the Lord are pure paragraphs. Didn't say the books of the Bible are pure books. Said the words of the Lord are pure words. Now I want to remind you, when this was written, some of the manuscripts of the originals were already lost. And he said, by the way, they already had the first 5 books of the Bible and others. And he said the words are pure words. That means that 1,500 years after Moses, when this was written, I'm sorry, not 1,500 years, but anyway, a long time after Moses, this was written, the words of the Lord were still pure words. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times, 7 being God's perfect number, which means they're perfectly purified. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Father, bless the sermon tonight to our hearts, and from our hearts to our lives, and our lives to the service of others. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow my logic very carefully. The real battle tonight is over the book. That's the real battle. It's over the book. The battle tonight is not over women's rights. Battle's over the book. All you got to do is settle this thing about women's rights, and the women's place is to get back to the book. The NOW, the now Hussies, and the ERA Hussies, are the battle, they're against the book. And you're against the book, you're against God. When you doubt a man's word, you doubt his truthfulness, you doubt his veracity. When you doubt his truthfulness and veracity, you doubt that person. So the real battle is not over women's rights, it's over this book. The real battle tonight is not over abortion. The real battle is over the book. If the book is true, abortion's murder. Somebody gave me an article in the Hammond Times of the day, in the local section, big headline up at the top. Hit and run driver runs over some geese. The biggest thing that happened in the Hammond Times local section. Big headlines. Hit and run driver runs over some geese. And they're making a thorough investigation to find that person that ran over those geese. I personally think it's a wild goose chase, but I mean, that's in the Hammond Times. And it talked about several geese being killed, but there were some survivors. I'm sure they'll testify in court against the guy. I mean, we're idiots. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not for running over geese. I think even ganders. But if you're going to run over one, run over the gander. But anyway, which is the gander? The woman? Okay, don't run over the gander. Run over the gandess. I'm not for running over geese. But here's the thing about it. Listen to me, young fellas. Hey, listen, boys. Here's the thing about it. They're more concerned about geese than they are the unborn babies. Why don't some of these liberals get concerned about murder of human beings over a million a year? Bloody, godless, anti-Bible murders. Several years ago, I went to the prosecutor's office, and you heard me say this. Brother Young had given out some baby chicks on Easter. He keeps me in trouble all the time. The fellow at the prosecutor's office asked me a question, said, is it true that you gave out some baby chicks? Do you know there's a law in the state of Indiana that's wrong to give out baby chicks? And he showed me the law. He said, is it true you did it? I said, yes, I did worse than that. He said, what? I said, I ate one of their mothers last Sunday for lunch. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not for being unkind or cruel to dumb animals, even if they belong to a liberal organization. But I want to say the battle tonight is not over abortion. The battle is over thou shalt not murder. The battle is the Word of God. It's the Word of God that they're after. The battle tonight is not over capital punishment. The battle is over the Bible. The Bible teaches capital punishment. You don't believe the Bible? Mr. Clinton, won't you take that Bible you carried to your so-called church on Sunday and leave it at home? You don't believe it anyway. Pro-abortion. The battle tonight is not over homosexuality. The battle is over the Bible. If the Bible's true, it's a dirty sin to be a queer. It's a sin. So the battle is over the Bible. The battle tonight is not over the discipline of children. The battle is over the Bible. The Bible is true. You're supposed to spank your child when it deserves to be spanked if you do it properly. Now, our Southern Baptist friends are having a battle over the the Bible. Now, follow me carefully. About 52% of the Southern Baptists say that the Bible is inspired. They believe in verbal inspiration of the Bible. And about 48% say that it doesn't matter a great deal. They belong to the moderate group. But the honest truth is, neither side is right. In the Southern Baptist battle, neither side is right. Because the right-wing crowd says, we believe the Bible is the Word of God in the original. Well, unfortunately, we have no originals. And neither do they. And somebody says, in the original it says, they're trying to show their scholarship, but they're showing their stupidity. Because they don't know what it says in the original. Now, I'm saying the Southern Baptist battle is against those who are dead wrong and those that are also dead wrong. We're not talking tonight about inspiration in the original. Now I want to make two statements. I believe in inspiration of the Bible. Psalm 119:89 says, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord. That book that you see right there, just as it's written, before there was ever a world, that book existed just like that. Just like that. Forever, O Lord, thy word, doesn't say forever, it shall be settled in heaven. It is settled in heaven. Forever. That means that book, those 66 books, every word that you see right in your Bible, those words were written in heaven before there was ever a world, before there was ever a human being. There never has been a time when the words of God didn't exist. And there never will be a time when the words of God don't exist. I'm saying that I believe in inspiration of the Scriptures. All that God has ever done, He's done through His Word. Creation was through the Word of God. 10 times it says, "And God said, let there be." When God said it, then that's what made it. The reason you're alive tonight is God spoke you into existence. The reason the world is here tonight, God spoke the world into existence. The reason that fish swim in the sea tonight, God spoke the fish into existence. The reason you got lakes and rivers and oceans and ponds and trees and flowers and animals and birds and fish and human beings is, and God said, and God said, and God said. Now you listen to young preachers. If everything that God has ever done, God has done through His Word, you're not going to build a church just on a few little funny stories. You're going to have to live in this book. I said, you're going to have to live in this book. Everything that God has ever done, He's done through His Word. Jesus, in the 4th chapter of Matthew, was tempted thrice by the devil. And even the Son of God defeated the devil by using the Word of God. The devil said, "I want you to do this." Jesus said, "It is written." The devil said, "How about this?" He said, "It is written." The devil said, "How about this?" He said, "It is written." Now it's time, listen, it's time we got back to being a people of the book. But not only do I believe in inspiration of the Scriptures, but I believe in the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. Verbal meaning word for word inspiration. When Jesus comes again, the clouds of glory, Revelation 19:13 says He has a name called the Word of God. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when it talks about that time when Jesus comes in the clouds of glory, it says He'll put down the Antichrist by the Spirit of His mouth. I mean, the battle of Armageddon is a battle between Christ and the Antichrist. It won't be won by bombs. It won't be won by national defense. It won't be won by guns. It won't be won by armies. It won't be won by Air Force. It won't be won by naval battles. It'll be won because God will say, "Drop dead." I mean, the Word of God is what's going to end the battle of Armageddon. The Word of God. Now, I had years ago when I was a young man, and that's been 4 or 5 years ago, when I was a young man, I had never had a secretary before, and I had a secretary 4 hours a week. But I hired me a secretary, one of these spiritual giants, the kind that always talk about how good the dear Lord is and how we thank Him for His marvelous mercy. And one of these so-called deeper lifers. And she said, Brother Hiles, she said, "I can be a good secretary for you because I was secretary for Dr. W.A. Criswell, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas." Well, I was a kid preacher. I was Southern Baptist at the time, and I thought, shoot, she can be a secretary of Dr. Criswell. I can promote her to be my secretary. And so she came. First day she was there, didn't have dictaphone machines in those days. I dictated some letters. And so she typed them up, brought them back to me, and I began to read, I began to read them before assignment, and they didn't sound like me. And I kept reading them. It didn't sound like me. So I called her in. And I said, "Mrs. Sharp," I said, "there's letters." I said, would you, "they don't sound like me." "Oh," she said, "that's what you said." And I said, "would you get your dictation pad, please, a tablet, bring it in here?" Well, she said, "I'm telling you, it's what you said." I said, "bring your stupid tablet in here." She brought the tablet in. I said, now you read me what's on there. And she began to read. Well, she said, "I did change it some because like Dr. Criswell would have wanted it." And I said, "you're going to do it like Dr. Hileswell would have wanted it and not Dr. Criswell would want it." I said, "I mean for you to type word for word what I say. You understand that, Mrs. McKinney? You understand that, Ms. Boardway?" I mean, when I dictate a letter, I mean I want every cotton-picking and corn-pulling word exactly as I dictated it. And so my secretary lasted about 24 hours, and I said, you go back to Dr. Criswell and type his letters, but you're not going to type another letter for me. Now, if I'm concerned about my words not being changed, don't you think the omniscient God is concerned about his words not being changed? I know what you theologians say. Oh, you say, Dr. Hiles, that's mechanical dictation. You just call it anything you want to call it to make us fundamentalists look like we're sort of ignorant. But we don't care about being ignorant or smart. We just believe that God gave us every word in this Bible right here. I'm saying tonight that I believe in inspiration, but I believe in verbal inspiration. Every single word. Now, I'm talking about this. I believe that God in heaven dictated the book of Romans word for word to the Apostle Paul. And the book of Romans was already in heaven, and God dictated it, and Paul wrote it word for word. Holy men of God, moved by the Holy Spirit, God breathed upon him, and God simply said, Paul, this is what's written in heaven. And you write this down. Oh, but say the scholars. And I'm not talking about Methodist scholars. And I'm not talking about Southern Baptist scholars. I'm talking about where some of your children are in school tonight. I'm talking about Dr. Custer at Bob Jones University tonight. I'm talking about some of your kids are in school. I'm saying they make light on the verbal inspiration of the Word of God. I'm saying, and I'm not trying to be unkind to anybody. I'm just going to say what I want to say and say what I ought to say. And brother, I want to tell you, I've given the rest of my life to a battle for that book right there. That book. That's where the battle is. That's where the battle is. The battle is that book right there. It's that book. I'm trying to tell you tonight that this book, while every word has been inspired, but wait a minute. What good is inspiration without preservation? So it was inspired in the original. That didn't do me any good. What good is inspiration without preservation? My Bible says, forever, O Lord, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. It said the words, not the paragraphs, the words, not the thoughts, the words of the Lord are pure words. Thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I'm saying every single word that was in heaven before the world was created will be preserved word for word forever. I don't need the originals. I need a Bible now. So, what good is inspiration without preservation? In the original it says, I don't need to know what it says in the original. I need to know what it says now. My Bible said in Matthew 4:4, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Father. My God commissioned me 46 years ago when I began to pastor, and 48 years ago when I was licensed to preach the gospel. My God commissioned me to preach every word of this book. Now, I've got to have every word. Now, if it's only in the original, I don't have the words of God, and you don't have the words of God. My wonderful God has preserved every word of the Word of God to this day, and I hold it in my hand right now. And if I did not believe that, I'd close my Bible and never preach another sermon as long as I live, because God told me to preach every word. If I don't have every word, I can't preach every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Father. What good does it make? What good is it to have inspiration if you don't have preservation? And by the way, only one can be right. If every word is preserved, and you got 50 different Bibles that say they're the Bible, only one can be right. Now, I'd rather a person say that the wrong one is right than to say they're all right. Now, they can't all be right. Brother, if this book, if Isaiah 7:14 says virgin in this book, and the Revised Standard Version it says young woman, then every word is preserved, one of those is wrong. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, you've got, if everything God has ever done, He's done by His Word, we've got to have every word. And that's one reason why I'm giving the rest of my life. You say, Brother Hiles, what difference does it make They all say about the same. It doesn't matter. The power of God is in the words of the book. And I'm giving the rest of my life. And by the way, if you don't like this, you have to put up with it. I'm giving the rest of my life, a good part of it, to fighting for the King James Bible. And to fighting against the Revised Standard Version, the Amplified Bible, the American Standard Version, the NIV, the Good News for Modern Man, the Living Bible, and all the rest of them. Because if this Bible's right, they're all wrong. What good is inspiration without preservation? Now, secondly, next, what good is preservation without observation? So we have it. And you watch television. So we have it. You spend more time listening to Channel 38 than you're doing the Word of God. I'd just soon for you to listen to HBO. Oh. And I mean what I'm saying. Hey, you think that's a catty statement? Come back next Sunday night and I'll say it again. I'm saying HBO admits it's heathen. The charismatic won't admit that he's heathen. And the new Bibles they read from, so-called Bibles, they say they're the Word of God. I mean, there's more danger in a false Bible than there is a sensuous television program. I'm saying the Bible is in the book. Stand for it. Live by it. Preach it and teach it and study it and memorize it and quote it and spread it and believe it and practice it. What good is preservation without observation? Read it. Turn your radio off and read it. Turn your so-called Christian radio off and read it. Turn your so-called Christian TV off and read it. Close your devotional book and read the Bible. I said Thursday night, preaching down in Bourbonnais, folks think that they've had their devotional for the day. If you open some little book that's got a piece of a scripture in it, come aside and rest a while. Oh boy, I love that scripture. I'm going to come aside and I'm going to rest a while. Bro, that's all we're doing now is resting. My Bible says something about working too. Brother, one little four-word part of scripture with somebody's poem and some sissy Christian's comment on it is not a devotional. I'm saying you take about 30 minutes of your day and you get in that book and you read that book. I'm saying I believe in inspiration. What good is inspiration without preservation? And what good is preservation without observation? Read it! Read it! Read it! The average person in this room tonight spends more time watching a box than you do the Word of God, and you're going to thank God Almighty for it. What good does it matter? Fight for the King James Bible and keep it closed. What good is inspiration without preservation? And what good is preservation without observation? Young preacher, if I ever start a college, I'm thinking very seriously about having a big library, 5,000 books, all of them King James Bibles. We are booked to death. We are, and I'm not against books, but I tell you what I am against. I'm against your spending more time reading somebody's books than you to reading God's book. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that this is God's Word? The very breath of God penned these words. This is the Word of the Creator of the universe. These are the words of Jehovah God. These are the words of the pre-existent Savior. These are the words that the Holy Spirit of God has breathed to holy men of old, word for word, that came from heaven. And you'd rather read somebody else's books than read God's book. I'm not against reading other books. I'm saying, for the time, minute you spend reading other books, you ought to spend 10 minutes reading that book right there. What good is inspiration without preservation? What good is preservation without observation? Now think about this thing about Roloff. I don't know if he had any other books. I don't know. He wouldn't even write a book. He wouldn't. He just read the Bible. I preach with that in all of America. If he preached if it was in December, it was always from Revelation. It was in January, it was always from Genesis. I preached, I guess, 10 years with him down in Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Bob Gray, at that annual Bible conference, I never heard him use a text outside Genesis because it was always in January. He'd just read it in the daytime and preach on what he read that night. And that's not bad. And he called it preaching by faith. He didn't have any outline. Didn't have any, he called it preaching by faith. I'm saying, folks, let me tell you something. Let's be people of this book. What good is inspiration without preservation? What good is preservation without observation? Next, what good is observation without examination? Study it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Did you hear that? That means if you don't study this book, you're not approved unto God. I'm saying God is not approving you unless you study this book. And by the way, I'm talking to you boys down here on the front row. If you're saved, you're supposed to study this Bible. I'm talking to you teenagers back here. If you're saved, you're supposed to study this Bible. I'm talking to you college students. If you're saved, you're supposed to study this Bible. God doesn't say everybody's over 80, study to show himself approved unto God. God doesn't say if you can't do anything else, study the Bible. God doesn't say if you can't read anything else, get your magnifying glass and look at the Bible. God doesn't say if you're too old to enjoy anything else, enjoy the Bible. No, sir. Every single blood-washed child of God is supposed to live in that book. What good is inspiration without preservation? What good is preservation without observation? What good is observation without examination? What good is examination without meditation? You know, you young folks won't believe this, but I used to be a young man. And I used to have a girlfriend. Yeah, you can't believe an ugly puss like this ever had a girlfriend, can you? When I was in the Army, I was engaged to marry Beverly Joy Slaughter. She did. She slaughtered. And, but anyway, she'd write me a letter. And I'd read it. I'd read it again. And I'd read it again. And I'd read it again. And then I'd kiss it. And I'd hug it. Then I'd read it again. I'd go to bed thinking about it. And I'd say, did you say what I felt as if? I'd get turn the light on and read it again. To this day, she writes me notes. Just last week, a note was left. She said, please get some milk and bread on the way home. Hey, this is not a mathematics book. This is a love letter. Hey, the lover of my soul wrote me this love letter. This is a love letter from Jesus who loved me. God so loved the world, and he loved me, and gave me this book. You know what? Are you against everything? I know I'm for everything, and there's everything right there. I am sick and tired of folks exegeting the book. Most of these exegeters execute the book instead of exegete the book. I'm sick and tired. Study it and read it! And then, what good is inspiration without preservation? What good is preservation without observation? What's good about observation without examination? And what good is examination without meditation? But what good is meditation without application? All over Chicago area, a bunch of so-called deeper lifers are gathering around this book tonight, studying like a mathematics book. Listen to me. What good is it to know the book if you don't apply it? I am so sick of people trying to preach stuff they don't know is in the Bible instead of what's obvious in the Bible. You preachers, young preachers, you get out of here and preach what's obvious. Quit trying to find out what silver represents in the Bible. Quit trying to find out what the nails of the tabernacle stand for.
Quit trying to find out what brass is a symbol of. Preach salvation by grace. Baptism after salvation. New Testament church. Preach how to rear children. How to have a happy marriage. How to be filled with the Spirit. How to get your prayers answered. How to be honest. How to have character. How to work hard. I'm saying there's enough things in this Bible that are obvious to keep you busy for a lifetime. What good is inspiration without preservation? What good is preservation without observation? What good is observation without examination? What good is examination without meditation? What good is meditation without application? And then, what good is application without propagation? What does that mean? That means spread it. That means spread it. People say, Brother House, your church just bothers us to death. Yeah, we're trying to keep you from burning forever. Our soul winner's out there today, and the fellow invited him in. He said, wait right here. He goes back in the back room, gets a gun, loads it, cocks it, walks in, says, next people come there from this church, I'm going to pull the trigger. Would you mind, Paul, going out making a call for me? But the purpose is propagation. The purpose is spread it. Jesus said, you're saying, go to all the world, exegete. He said, go to all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. That's what the years ordained is about. That's what this church is all about. I know theologians who believe exactly as I believe on the King James Bible, who haven't been soul winning since the Mississippi River was invented. I wouldn't give you a dime for King James Bible defenders that don't propagate the King James Bible. The reason to defend it, it's our weapon. I was in World War II, they introduced me to the M1 rifle. And they said, this is your weapon. I won't go into how I had to kiss it goodnight. I don't know what you call that. If a woman kisses a man, that's natural. A man kisses a man, that's queer. Kiss a rifle, I don't know what that's called. Probably called obedience to the sergeant. But you know what I had to do, the paratroopers? I had to learn to take my rifle apart blindfolded and put it back together. I mean, blindfolded, putting blinds over my eyes. I had to take every little part, and if you've ever seen those M1 rifles, you know what I'm talking about. And I had to put it back together blindfolded. And when I got through with that, I said, boy, I'm a good soldier. I think you're a good soldier. The reason you're supposed to learn it is so you'll know how to use it. Not so you, boy, I can put it together blindfolded, tear it apart, put it back together blindfolded. But the purpose of it is to shoot it. Oh, but if you shoot it, it's going to be noisy. It's irreverent. The purpose of inspiration is preservation. And the purpose of preservation is observation. And the purpose of observation is examination. And the purpose of examination is meditation. And the purpose of meditation is application, and the purpose of application is propagation. The Word of God is necessary to answer prayer. It says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask what you will, and it shall be given you. The Word of God is the answer, is necessary to success. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted with the river waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want to prosper, you're going to have to do it for the Word of God. You get your prayers answered, you've got to do it with the Word of God. It's necessary to know the Word of God to know God's will. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's necessary, the Word of God is necessary for faith. Romans 10, 17, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's necessary for victory over sin. Psalm 119:11 says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Word of God is necessary to not being offended. Psalm 119:165, Great peace have they which love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It's necessary for a person being a good worker. 2 Timothy 2:15, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's necessary to sow winning. Psalm 126:6, He that goeth forth and leaveth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It's necessary to the spiritual life. Man shall not live of bread alone, Matthew 4:4, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you may as well get used to it. Old man Hiles is going to live the rest of his life defending that book right there. King James Bible. I want to tell you something. Back yonder about 10 years ago, very few people didn't have a champion to champion the cause of the King James Bible. Well, First Baptist Church of Hammond's become that champion. And we're sending out preachers not to preach some Bible, but the Bible. And I'm spending my life going around this country, and of course I'm pastoring this church and trying to get people saved, but I've given a good portion of the last years of my ministry. I want to leave that Bible in good repair, and I want to leave it in good rapport, and I want to leave that Bible. I want fundamentalists, when I'm gone, to realize the only inspired words of God are in the King James Bible. To that I'm giving my life. But now, what good does that do if we don't observe it and examine it and meditate upon it and apply it and propagate it? Ask your question, I'm through. How long have you spent today in that book? This Sunday. This is the Lord's Day. How long have you spent today in that book? Ask another question. Sit still. Have you spent more time watching television? Hey, some of you in this room, and you're supposed to be good Christians. I'm gonna hit you where it hurts right now. You spent more time watching Tonya Harding. What's that the gal's name? Nancy Kerrigan. This week than you spent in God's eternal word. And that's sin. First place, it's wicked for a guy. I can't answer for a woman, but it's wicked for a man to watch that kind of stuff. Where they dress. Ask a question. Have you spent more time watching soap operas as we are, television at all, or that book? You say, Brother Hiles, I tell you what, it's hard to understand. If you read the newspaper the same way you read the Bible, it'd be hard to understand. You get your newspaper one of these days. Say, I'm going to close my eyes and put my finger and read the line where my finger is. It says, poodle dog. Answers to poodle lost. You say, I don't understand the paper. You sit down. When I read the paper, I read the USA Today every afternoon when I get out of the country, out of the city. I sit down. And I read the USA Today paper, and I start the front page and read the entire main section. I read the entire business section. I read the entire sports section. I throw the life section where it tells about all the whores. I throw it away. I don't touch it. But I read it through. I read this Bible the same way. You're a pretty good Christian, aren't you? Because I'll tell you, I believe him cover to cover, but you keep the covers closed most of the time. What good is inspiration without preservation? And what good is preservation without examination or observation? And what good is observation without examination? And what good is examination without meditation? And what good is meditation without application? And what good is application without propagation? It's time we got back to the book. And I want to say this. I'm not just talking about preachers. I'm talking about doctors and lawyers and plumbers and steel mill workers and carpenters and electricians.
I'm talking about maids. I'm talking about secretaries. I'm talking about clerks. I'm talking about everybody whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's time we got back into the blessed Book of God. How are you treating it? If I ask you to stand up and quote a verse tonight or die, we have to have new receptionists in heaven to take the crowd that show up. Unless you got up first and got Jesus wept first. Now the truth is, most of you, if I said, quote 10 verses or die, most of you couldn't even try. Listen carefully to me. Now I'm going to close. I don't know when, but I am. Listen carefully to me. I know that Ted Williams batted 406 in 1941. I know that he hit 521 home runs. I know that Joe DiMaggio batted in the same year in 56 consecutive, hit in 56 consecutive games. I know that Nolan Ryan leads the whole world in strikeouts. I know sports, but I refuse to know sports more than I know God's eternal word. Our Heavenly Father, I'm ashamed of all of us. Most of us have talked more about Tonya Harding in the last month than we have about the Word of God. And most of us have read more about Tonya Harding than we have the Word of God. Change our lives tonight. Take us back.